Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
A Strike to the Heart by Danielle Grandinetti. She's fiercely independent. He's determined to protect her. Wisconsin, 1933. When a routine mission becomes an ambush that kills his team, Kraft Agency sniper Miles Wright determines to find the persons responsible and protect the woman he rescued. But the fierce independence that led Lily Moore to leave her family's dairy business for the solitary life of a dog trainer and the isolation of her farm don't make that easy. Neither does his unwanted attraction to her. Meanwhile, escalating incidents confirm that she's far from safe. Lily fears letting the surprisingly gentle retired Marine into her life almost as much as she fears whoever is threatening her. As Wisconsin farmers edge toward another milk strike, one that will surely turn violent, it becomes clear that the plot against Lily may be part of a much larger conspiracy. When the search for her abductor leads close to home, she must decide whether to trust her family or the man who saved her life.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, I'm with Danielle Grandinetti. She is a book blogger at daniellewritingspot.com. She's written short stories, and we're here to talk about writing and her newest book, An Historical Romantic Suspense. So welcome, Danielle.
Thank you.
So we were talking before the, before we started recording that you're writing historical romantic suspense. So let's talk a little bit about what makes it historical. Obviously, it's based in the past, but how far back do you go in your book for this romantic suspense?
So the story originally was contemporary romantic suspense, but it just was missing something. And in 2020 or 2019, thereabouts, Wisconsin actually started having a milk shortage, milk issues. And it turned out that the farmers were having to dump their milk because they couldn't, there's nothing to do with it. Like they couldn't process fast enough. So they were having to just dump it out. And I learned that it's not the first time that's happened. There was actually a huge milk strike in 1933 when the milk prices dipped to some of the lowest on record. And all of a sudden I put the two things together and it took a contemporary romantic suspense and setting it in a historical setting just brought it alive and brought it to life.
So is it about milk?
It is, believe it or not. It's set in 1933, Wisconsin. So
yeah, that's funny. You're probably the only one who has romantic suspense about milk.
It's true. Believe it or not, it was actually quite a deadly situation. So who knew?
Ah, that's right. You know, not to dive too closely into milk, but I'm a little fascinated by milk. So yes. we're going to take a little dive here.
Go for it.
So we buy raw milk. All right, everyone's talked here. And been a farmer in West Virginia. We live in Virginia. It's great. We've been drinking it for years. And my dad grew up on a farm, so he drank milk like straight from the cow kind of thing. Anyways, it was fascinating to learn that, like in big cities, there was like milk crisis, like milk cans, because people were dumping all kinds of weird junk into it.
Right.
Last longer. And that's why pasteurization became, because they figured we're going to kill everything instead of just making milk is
the grading system.
Yeah. The grading system.
Right.
Stuff. It was kind of fascinating to read about this. So did you have to do a lot of research into that?
A little bit. I stayed more into the crisis that the farmers faced than the processing plants faced. But it was right around that time that the pasteurization and like the grading system started, and that was all affecting the whole economy of milk and its byproducts, including cheese and butter and, you know, you name it, sour cream.
Cottage cheese.
I know, you just you don't realize how much stuff is in milk, but it was costing the farmers more to deliver their milk to the processing plants than what they were getting paid for it, and the farmers could actually save money by just dumping it out. So they set up a protest. And Wisconsin's not the only state that did it. I believe Kansas also did, and attempted, like a lot of the other strikes in early 1900s, attempted to bring awareness to the situation and it worked and it didn't work. It's a lot more complicated than saying, yes, they got what they needed. And it was a lot more complicated. And it wasn't just one strike. It took, it was a escalation.
Oh, wow.
So actually, I little plug here, I wrote a prequel to the novella that is actually available right now. It's called To Stand in the Breach. And I explore the lead up to the culmination, which is the in the novel itself, from a veterinarian and a police officer's perspective.
Cool.
Which, again, you know, you do a lot of research and then you enjoy the characters and
you're definitely gonna let them go.
Right.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. So is this your first romantic suspense or have you written others?
This is my first full-length romantic suspense. Okay.
Yeah. So what are you working on? What are you working on now?
The Christmas novella related to this book, actually. I'm in the editing process. It's really fun. So it'll be a whole series. My publisher gave me permission to independently publish the novella, the prequel, and then the Christmas novella as supplements to the novel itself. So it's really been fun. Wrap up the characters and the situation. The Christmas novella will release in September and it's called As Silent as the Night. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, that's nice. So do you, you live in Wisconsin?
I do. I'm born and raised in the Chicagoland area, but married into, my mom and that side of the family grew up on a dairy farm and a Wisconsin dairy farm. So
you got some insider knowledge there.
I do. And then I married into a Wisconsin family and my mother-in-law is also born and raised on a Wisconsin dairy farm. So lots of dairy farm in my blood. My dad actually works for a cheese company right now. So it is. So
I'm guessing you have a lot of milk products in your home and
cheese, lots of cheese.
My Wisconsin cheese. Yeah. We love cheese and
it's so good.
Yeah. And it's been funny though, because we're foster parents and our current placement is actually lactose intolerant.
Yes.
So we tried to explore we already drank some almond milk, just because my husband has a slight intolerance for dairy milk. But it's been interesting to find alternatives for cheese for him.
Yes, that is hard.
You know, and I think he can have some, but at four, it's you just don't know how. I don't want to tip that over and have the repercussions of that in my house. So, we're trying to find all these like plant based stuff, and some are better than others, and find out what I like. And it's just been, it's just been. But I can't imagine is someone willing. willingly not eating.
There's so much variety in cheese and different types and flavors and
cheese is amazing. So is your next book going to be about cheese? I mean, you've done milk. I move into,
the Christmas.
I mean, this could happen.
I know, right? Now the Christmas novella is explores more of the festivals around Christmas. Okay. Wisconsin has several, and I actually explore an Italian American character who makes an appearance in the novel. He gets his story in at Christmas. So she explores the other half, my other half. I'm a third generation, second or third generation Italian American. So that's fun to slip that in there as well.
It is. So what does your family think about you writing?
They're very, very supportive. my husband's one of my biggest cheerleaders, especially. He's the one who gave me the courage to really start putting my work out there. I was writing and, published stories and doing the writing work before we were married, because we were married later. But after getting married, he really gave me the courage and the space to be able to go for the full length novel. And here we are.
So what are your plans after the, after you finish your novella? Do you have plans for more historical romantic suspense, contemporary? Where are you going to go from
here? That's the plan. Lightly still set in Wisconsin. I've got a couple ideas, probably my next work in progress will be one set in a small town. I have one that is, set in a fishing village, a fishing town on Lake Michigan. Having Lake Michigan adds a lot of drama to the situation. Yeah. So yeah, I have a couple in the works, just setting up the order of which will come first.
Right. So where's your favorite place to write in your home? Are we looking at it if I have a video?
No, this is actually a quiet spot. I have two little boys, ages 2 and 4. So writing often takes place on the sofa while they're climbing around or after they go to bed, or my husband will wrangle them and give me some quiet time to be able to get some work done. So it's very much a hodgepodge. I've had to learn to write quick in the little spaces that I have. So
I remember those days.
Yes. Yes.
Four children. So,
yes.
They're all teenagers now, except for our foster, who's 4.
Yes.
Teenagers for fostering. And they're like, so do you want a 4-year-old? I'm like, okay.
Right. It's a fun age, but it's a lot of activity, a lot of on the go.
Yeah, he's in full time preschool. He has some developmental delays, but anyway, but yeah, he's a lot of fun. But I was like, my youngest is 13, so it's been a while.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
So, and they were, when a time this recording in January, we had just had a whole week of snow. I know this is going to sound funny to you in Wisconsin, but when it's in Virginia, everything shuts down.
Like, yes,
it's like done. So,
The time of the recording here in Wisconsin, the wind chills are below zero. So it's much a stay inside, stay warm. Yeah, wonders, cold, blankets.
Yeah, we always say when people say they're cold in the house, I'm like, throw on a sweater and a cat. We have 3 cats, so I'm like,
yes,
a sweater, just you'll be fine.
Yep.
But your comment about writing in the time and little snatches just reminded me, that was me last week, because he had to watch him. I had to watch him while my husband works from home full time. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, I get to watch the kid who I thought was going to be at school and trying to, he's not happy about not being in school. And
Right.
Yeah, I don't miss those days.
They're an adventure for sure.
Well, this has been lovely talking to Jen. To you,
yes.
Diana. We are unfortunately we're out of time, so thank you so much for being on my show.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. I've been chatting with Danielle Grandinetti, and we've been talking about her historical romantic suspense, A Strike to the Heart. And stay tuned, and you can hear an excerpt from that after this interview.
Now an excerpt from A Strike to the Heart by Danielle Grandinetti. Mr. Wright? Lily appeared as if from a cloud, crashing into Miles' chest as he closed the back door behind himself. She sucked in a quick breath as her eyes popped wide.
Lily.
Miles cleared his throat at her sudden close proximity.
Miss Moore.
He snapped himself out of his reaction, steadied her before she toppled, and tried to step back, only to bump into the door. And he still must have gazed at her for too long because over her left shoulder, he spotted Joey moving closer. Not good. With his boss's warning to stay off the police radar ringing in his head, he didn't dare give Lily's brother reason to think Miles was anything other than a friend. Everything okay? Worry marred her green eyes.
Absolutely.
He gave her a wink, and pink spotted her cheeks. The same pink that was surely coloring the tips of his ears. Evidence of how she flustered him, despite his attempt at covering his reaction. She glanced over her shoulder at her brother, and Miles felt the tremble that raced through her as she spoke.
Joey was telling me about his morning, about another dairy strike.
Another one?
That would make three. The first two had grown increasingly more violent. A third could ignite the mounting anger like Big Bertha come to the farmland of Wisconsin. He struggled to keep all reaction off his expression as Joey approached. In Miles's experience, union strikes often turn deadly, had for a long time, and the resolution of the inevitable clash with law enforcement seemed to depend on who had the political sway to deploy the police, which in this case could inevitably pit Joey against his family.
You know it's too dangerous for you to get involved.
Joey practically growled the statement at his sister, interrupting yet echoing Miles's own tumultuous thoughts.
People have already died over this and surely will again.
I know that.
Miss Moore folded her arms across her body. I'm not planning to get involved with the strikes. That's Dad's business. But we are children of a dairy farmer after all, and I'm not so dense as to not understand what's going on. Miles covered the smile that peeked out. He couldn't help but admire the woman's spunk.
I didn't call you dense.
Joey rubbed the brown scruff on his chin.
But with Dad solidly supporting the Farm Holiday Association's encouragement to strike again, the so-called alliance between our family and the Booths gained by Amy and Andy's marriage could really blow up.
Because Andy's dad owns the distribution and processing center.
Miss Moore waved her hand for Joey to continue.
I know. Get to the important part.
Mr. Booth is refusing to pay a higher price for the milk he buys, and you know Dad. He's already led the way with the other farmers in dumping milk. But this next strike is threatening to become the biggest one yet, and the most personal since our sister is now a Booth. Those are all the facts I know.
Or want to share. Miles could hear the unspoken caveat.
Tell me something I can't figure out on my own.
Miss Moore rolled her eyes.
What about Harry Williams and Alex Chiff? They're Andy's friends. Have they expressed opinions on the strike?
The two men who were at O'Reilly's restaurant with her when she was kidnapped? Miles clamped his mouth closed. He wanted to elbow her to keep her from asking more questions, even of her brother. Joey appeared of a similar mindset, which made Miles's antenna rise even more. Was it because he knew more than he was letting on, or because he believed a woman shouldn't be involved? Or was he simply concerned for his sister? Miles needed more information, background, especially on the immediate persons involved, but also on the larger picture, the strikes.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.